Hey, Google, what is the chief end of man?
Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever.
Yeah, I'm on a mission like a couple spies, and that, guys, is the reason why I catechize.
Welcome to the Reform Standard. I'm Tony. Let's get started. Chapter 19 of the Scots Confession of Faith is titled The Authority of the Scriptures, and it reads, "As we believe and confess the Scriptures of God, sufficient to instruct and make the man of God perfect, so do we affirm and avow the authority of the same to be of God, and neither to depend on men nor angels. We affirm, therefore, that such as allege the Scriptures to have no authority, but that which is received from the Kirk, to be blasphemous against God and injurious to the true Kirk, which always hears and obeys the voice of her own spouse and pastor, but takes not upon her to be mistress over the same." So as I've said a couple times, the Scottish Confession here, it puts together theology in slightly different ways than the later traditions do. And so when we started off the Scots Confession, we started around the same place that the Westminster Confession was talking about Scripture, or the Westminster Catechism. And one of the things I noted at the time is that the discussion of Scripture in the Confession here is placed much later in the Confession than in previous or in later traditions. Some of that may be historically grounded, right? The theology of the nature of Scripture was still developing and still coming into fruition as we come into the Scottish Confession, as we get here. And the Westminster tradition later on was at a much more settled place. But more so here, I think that it's because the Scottish Church, the Scottish Confession, is developing its theology of the church, its ecclesiology, around this understanding that the Scriptures are what determine the church, not that the church determines what is Scripture. And so we have this kind of monster header chapter that we talked about in our last episode that is sort of telling you, how do you understand what the true church is? And then we have this chapter on the Scriptures, and then we're going to go on into chapters following this that are ecclesiological chapters. So chapter 20 is on sort of the powers of the church. Chapter 21 is on the, and 22 is on the sacraments. 23 is on the sacraments. And so what we see here is that the theology of the Scripture that the Westminster or the Scottish divines here, the Scottish confession uses, is what shapes and forms their understanding of the church. And so here, it's very clear that there are those, primarily the church in Rome, and probably the Church of England as it was vacillating back and forth between Roman Catholic and Protestant rulers and bishops. The Church in Rome especially says that the Scriptures receive their authority from the church. And so the Scottish Confession here is speaking against that and saying that that's not only incorrect, but it blasphemes God. Because what it does is it places the authority that men have, which any authority that man has, they receive from God, of course. So it places that authority over and against the revealed word of God. It determines what is the revealed word of God by the judgments of men. And so this is not only blasphemous, but when it happens, when this perspective prevails, it's injurious to the church. So it concretely hurts the true church when they lose sight of what it is that constitutes the church and where that authority comes from. And so for the confession here for the Scots, the authority of Scripture comes from God, and because it comes from God, it is itself God's authority. And so it's not dependent on men, it's not dependent on angels. And here there's a really interesting connection that they make. It's saying here that the church hears and obeys the voice of God in Scripture, and it connects this by saying that it's the voice of her spouse and pastor. And so just as in the scriptures and in Reformed theology, we understand that there's a certain authority that a husband has over his wife, which of course is to be exercised in humility and gentleness with her own interest in mind. And likewise, there's an authority that a pastor has over his congregation, over his people, that likewise is to be exercised in humility and gentleness with their own interests. That the church obeys the voice of her spouse and pastor, who is Christ Jesus, speaking in the scriptures by his Holy Spirit. And it does not take it upon herself to be the mistress over the same. And so what we have to understand is that for the Reformed tradition, and especially as expressed here in the Scottish Confession, to place the church over the scriptures is to place the church over God himself. And so we must not ever hold any position which places us as the arbiters of what scripture means or what it doesn't mean, the arbiters of what is or is not scripture. And so we have to be careful because, you know, there's discussions about text criticism, who decides which variant is or is not scripture. And on a certain level, we have to do that because we have all these different manuscripts, but we should never position ourselves or think of ourselves in that engagement, in that exercise or activity as determining what the scripture is. But like the canon, like the scriptures itself, we receive from God what he has written through his apostles and through their associates. And so we must always recognize that just as a wife listens to and obeys her husband, and as a congregation member listens to and obeys their pastor, we must also listen to and obey the voice of God in Scripture and never place ourselves above it. You know, if you want, you could know this. The catechism, hey, the catechism, hey. Do you know what the chief and the man is? And how the Father, Son, and Spirit do manage? Do you know if you want, you could know this. West Side.